Could I ask the Chevra a favor? If I ask Mesh, if I could ask the guys a favor to... AJ does not like public speaking, as most of us don't like doing. If it's a small Chevra huddled up, saying Geshmak, if it's a public speech, he said, then it's just me. So if the guys move forward, you have a chance to hear him. Much, much better. I wanna tell the guys that it needs like a very specific siyata d'shmaya to introduce and to thank AJ right now, AJ Saidi, to say thank you and appreciate needs a siyata d'shmaya. Because somebody does something important, somebody does something serious. If you say thank you, I once had in my class, I had a guy in my class who was choking. His life was on the line. Somebody called Atzala. He had gone out of the class when we were in high school, maybe 9th or 10th grade, and he went in the hallway. I don't remember what happened, but he was choking. And his face was already different colors. There was no coughing. If somebody's coughing, they're okay. Because as a passageway, he was choking. His face had already turned colors. It was frightening. He couldn't get a breath. Somebody called Atzala. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't do the right thing. He like bent over and was just... And I did the wrong thing. You could ask Scott Sullivan. I'm not proud that I didn't know what to do. Today, there are more people at Sullivan guys. In not knowing what to do, I just banged his back with everything I had. Now, I don't think that's safe, healthy. At the end of the day, things came out after I banged him. I don't know if it's small intestines, larger. Things came out. He was just... And by the time Atzala came, he was totally fine. So my smack on the back, it might be the only punch I've thrown in my life, but I want to say that afterwards, it was very awkward between us. Because to look at somebody who saved your life, and I think banging him saved his life, it was like, you know, thank you so much. Somebody, my son Menachem, once had some accident in a pool. And somebody helped my son. And again, I don't even know, did he save his life? Did he not? It becomes like funny. Thank you for saving my son's life. It's like overwhelming. You saved my life. And when you don't just say... Revezi's awesome. Friday night, Revezi's always amazing. This Friday night, took the cake. I can't decide if it was just the funniest ever, which I thought, or I was just so happy it was going after somebody else. So I was like, but both of them were amazing. But the bottom line is the bottom line is to thank somebody on a very, very serious thing. It's not like cheap. It's not cheap to say to somebody thank you on a serious thing. Somebody saves your kid's life. When you see somebody like that, it's a certain I don't want to say achray is the right word. You need a siyata d'shmaya to tap into what you're feeling. Now I want to say each guy comes back to yeshiva. There's a tremendous appreciation. Just AJ learned here, was an important part of the yeshiva, was an honest person who put his own journey and shared with us. That's impacted me, impacted his friends, impacted the yeshiva, and is helping us grow and evolve into new understandings, new honesty, our own directions in life. And certainly I appreciate AJ for that. But what he's done in the last couple of years, AJ has fought in the army the last few years, and specifically, yeah, you're right. And specifically since Simchas Torah, you're standing in front of somebody who put his life for Yidden, who risked his life daily. The energy of that, I don't care what somebody's intention to go to the army. I don't, each person, we all have in things we do, we all have different thoughts. You're sitting in front of somebody who day in, day out, for months, put his life on the line for Am Yisrael. I like met him today. I have a tremendous respect, but I'm sitting in front of somebody who day in, day out, put his life on the line for our people. He saved many Yidden, protected many lives. There are many, many people of Achenu B'nai Yisrael that are alive today that literally, kipshutai, no exaggeration, no, and I'm not asking, and we'll hear the details. I don't think that's where it is right now, to share stories. I don't think that's where it is. But what I just say is the appreciation, that I say the appreciation and the inspiration of somebody, that the chiyus to that. I asked AJ, where does somebody go from there? We like asked each other, where does somebody go from there? You got up and you were putting your life on the line for Am Yisrael. The energy of that, of Klal Yisrael, my people, my nation. I want my kids, and always care that my kids should think about our people. We're part of it, people. We go to a Pesach hotel, and one of the great gains, friends of mine are a little surprised not to be home for Pesach, and I go to a hotel, and I have a cheshbon, but I say one of the gains that my family has is to feel a sense we're part of a people. We're part of a people. It's interesting, at the Pesach Seder, Klal Yisrael used to go for halal to their rooftops and everybody sang together. You're part of a people. We're part of a nation. We belong to a people. Since Simchas Torah, I have felt that the job is reach out. I went to places that I don't typically go, and I've been running around like I never ran around. I don't like missing days here. And I've gone to places that in the past I would not have spoken and I would not have gone to. I just feel Yidden after ban. I don't want to just put lip service. So I've gone, Johnny and I have traveled. We've gone to many interesting venues and places just that Yidden should be together. Come. Let's sing together. Let's join together. Let's come together. It's something I feel strongly about. We have a gathering yearly in Eretz Yisrael. Every year, it doesn't. I promise it needs no help and energy. The energy of that gathering is crazy. And hundreds of people, it needs no help. And we did the weirdest thing this year. Instead of meeting where we always meet, we went to a yeshiva of guys. It was like uncomfortable. It was a weird move. Literally was a weird move. The first night of meeting, we have places to meet. We've done it for years. I felt like it shouldn't just be us. It's a collective. It's a bigger us. And we went to new yeshivas that we've never gone to before. I feel the time's called, it's very organic. It's natural. A family goes through difficulty. The family holds hands. That's natural. That's organic. That's what's supposed to happen. And I just feel to sit in front of somebody who's bringing an energy, the energy in the world, it exists by our people. There are people fighting for our people. I showed the video to the Chevra of this amazing lady, Hadassah Lowenstern. And you saw the energy of somebody who said, it's not prati, it's not a private thing, I'm part of a people. So to be in the presence of somebody of AJ, I appreciate a hero, literal hero, who put his life on the line for Am Yisrael, for us, day in, day out, went out there, is tremendously humbling, tremendously humbling. I thank you. I want to ask AJ to speak. If he just gives us a bracha, I'm happy, let alone whatever he wants to say. After he speaks, let's pray. Let's pray for our people with somebody who brought it. I want to ask AJ, introduce AJ Saidi, thank him tremendously for coming. I thank you. Those words, thank you for coming, I say it. To thank you for what you've done, I feel like I didn't nail it. I can't, to nail that, to say thank you, it's like, You say, thank you for what you've done. I feel, but I certainly can't speak for our people. But I could speak, I promise you, I feel the energy in the world. I think there's like an energy, there's something that's been brought to the world. I think it's easier to connect to Klal Yisrael because many of our Yidden, it's an energy. These are spiritual energies that are in the world. There's a group of people that I get energy from that there's a group of people waking up and they're fighting for Am Yisrael. Now, I don't care what their intention originally in joining the army. I'm telling what many are thinking right now. Many have written, many have said. And any soldier can get a cold, can say his leg hurts, can figure out a way and get to the hospital, I imagine. But they're getting up and going and they're saying, I'm part of a people. I'm part of a people. I belong to a nation, a very beautiful people, Am Yisrael. So I thank AJ for, in our world, bringing that energy. Thank you for being here. And without further ado, ask AJ if he gives us a bracha alone. That I'd be happy if he would. He could share, he could sing anything he wants and say anything he wants. I just share your sweet voice with us. Thank you, AJ.
It's fine. Fine, so I'm AJ, Avram Yaakov Saidi. Born in Brooklyn. We made Aliyah in 2008. Came to Waterbury for 3 years and I joined the army. I joined the unit called the Ya'alom. Basically what we do is, it's an engineering corps. We're experts at explosives. My team, especially explosives that have to do in hostage rescue. So it's diffusing explosives that are a vest that's on a hostage and blowing up doors and putting the right amount of explosives on the door so the hostage that's behind doesn't get hurt or the terrorist that's behind does get hurt. So I've had a crazy service, and I think there's a lot of stories that I could say, but I agree with Rabbi Kalish that it isn't time for stories, and I want to point out exactly the point you were talking about this activist. So on the 7th of October, I was home. A missile started getting shot over my house. I have no clue. I keep Shabbos. And I hear the missiles. I run out of my room, go downstairs. I see my whole family in the living room in like a safe spot. I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you for leaving me in my room. And it's weird. It's a random Shabbos, and that happened. And someone that didn't keep Shabbos that was by us, all of a sudden tells him that there's 50 terrorists came into Sderot. Now I'm like, ah, oh, that's cute. That's funny. Like, we're a team that's on call 24/7. And I'm like, if that really happened, like, they would have called me. I would get a phone call. Go up to my room, get my phone. I pick it up. My friend calls. And he tells me, I'm by you in 10 minutes. Prepare for war. Tovet Shabbos, I don't go into Telegram, so I hear what's happening from friends that did see. And we go out. And now when I get to base, what we see is just everyone running around, taking any gear you could find, chucking it on any car you could find, and just going south. Just going south. To the extent that the car that we took my friend's father's car, drove straight to Miflasim. And once we got there, we parked the car, got into the army cars, and when we came back, tons of the civilian cars were shot up, RPG'd, burned, everything. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because you're fighting and you see what they do and you see the amount of bodies that are there. And all of a sudden you just see anyone that knows how to fight was just there, and you look at the people and you see a couple of stuff. You see who they are, first of all. You see fathers, you see people that left their families, people that left their businesses, people that their wife's pregnant, without any gear. Nothing to protect them, just a pistol. A pistol and some stupid hat that says security so we don't shoot him. And everyone's coming to fight. And I remember on a couple of days later, on the 8th of October, we were called to Kfar Aza, basically to open up these safe rooms that were locked, that were jammed in. And we understand the situation already, and I'm on base already because they called us back. And this guy comes running up to me, this 30-year-old, running up to me. He's like, "Are you AJ? Are you AJ? Are you AJ?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Come, we need you fast. We have to go to Kfar Aza. There's people, 11 families are stuck in the inside the safe room." Now in my head, I'm like, "Okay, cool. Like, but why are you such in a hurry? Like, we're a day and a half after. Like, let's be realistic. Like, they're not around. They're in the safe room and they're all with a bullet in their head. I'm maybe worse." But seeing that, I guess, that kind of points out that point that we're in this together. And when you see the people's eyes, there was just like, everyone that was there just had this certain type of eye of we got hit, but we're here together no matter who I am, what background I'm from, and what I left behind. Because I'm here because someone needs me, and I'm here to help. And I remember once I got to this Kfar Aza place, that we're standing on this road. A couple of soldiers, whatever, they started a gunfight in a certain area. And all of a sudden I look up and I see these people that left families at home. And every guy brought what he could. Every guy came and just brought his specific talent to the cause that we needed. And some guy brought an ice cream truck because you needed it for the bodies. So they just brought an ice cream truck. And I'm going to connect it to the Parsha. Not this Parsha, the A Parsha. In Sefer Shemot, we see that in the beginning of the book, it's kind of a story of how from a family we became a nation, from a nation to slaves, and from slaves to freedom. And all of a sudden, in Parshas Tetzaveh and on, it takes a shift and it turns into the Mishkan. So it's a question like, why? Like, why not just finish the book, finish the story of our nation, and the next book just continue on? So if we look at the history of the Jews, and from when we came out from Mitzrayim, then we see when stuff are so obvious and they're nisim, then what we do as Jews is complain. And when we're dependent on someone, whether that someone is God, then we complain. And we see it by Yamsuf, we see it by the man, we see it by the water. And all of a sudden the answer for that is to build something together. To have a certain cause that unites the nation into a certain goal. And only after you have that, you could really become a nation. So it's kind of the same story. But I'm trying to point out a couple of stuff in the Mishkan that we could learn. So one, I guess, is everybody came to the Mishkan and gave their specific skill. That means there was no wrong answer there. If you had a talent, then we needed that talent, and you came and did exactly that. And blinked out a little bit. Wait. The second thing is that Judaism is about a relationship. It's something that we have to be active and not passive. The second we're passive and reliant on God, then we kind of ruin the relationship. And once we're active, only then we can create a place that's called the Mishkan, where God can come and be with us. I don't remember. Let's see.
Thank you.
I think that's enough.
I like both those things. Thank you, AJ. Thank you. That visual that AJ shared of what he saw, of each person bringing his thing. A guy brought an ice cream truck, and that he brought was to give dignity to people's bodies to collect. And each person brought their thing. What you saw in that is amazing. Yeah. We're all needed, and everybody brings their thing. Bring your thing. Bring your thing in all situations. Yeah. Thank you for having such good eyes to see that. Thank you. Amazing. Yeah. I was telling Manny and I were talking about the yeshiva, and to this point, when AJ says bring your thing, Manny told me in Pshischa was an incredible movement, an incredible place. It was a place of honesty, and the in Pshischa, Rabbanim used to tell every single person who came to Pshischa, he would tell the following mashal. And this is to the point of AJ, bring your thing, find your skills, your talents. AJ compared that to the Mishkan, when people gave gifts and brought abilities that they had, each person had brought what they were able to do. So Rabbanim of Pshischa Dubi would describe, he would say the following story to every single guy who came to Pshischa. He would tell him, listen to the story that you all heard. There's a Yid, we'll call him Baruch, a Yid Baruch, who has a dream, and he has a recurring dream. He keeps having this dream again, Daniel, and the dream is that on the other side of the world, far from his home, there's a treasure in an area that you're not allowed to dig. And there's a treasure in some king's private property. He has the dream so many times, so he heads out to that land to find this treasure. He has this recurring dream. He goes there to dig, and a guard, a soldier of the king, finds him and says, "What are you doing?" Like screams at him. He says, "What do you mean? I'm digging to find the treasure. I had a recurring dream. There's a treasure here, so I'm digging to find it." The soldier said, "You're such a fool." The soldier said, "I've been dreaming for years that there's some Jew named Baruch who has a treasure in his backyard. You think I'm running across the world to dig in his backyard?" And Baruch hears this, goes back home, digs in his backyard, and finds a treasure and becomes wealthy. That amazing story is the story of all our lives. I have seen many a guy come to yeshiva, like looking, a Rebbe is going to, and certainly people are close to Rabbi Wisnicki, Rabbi Russ, but the treasure doesn't lie here, it lies by you. And in Pshischa, Rabbanim would tell every single guy this story who came to the yeshiva, the treasure ultimately lies by you. And each person has a soul and has a sense of emes and has what to give and has his own journey and his own path. And Rabbanim would say, you traveled here to find the treasure. I'm going to be the king's soldier who's going to tell you that I had a dream and the treasure's in your backyard. Sometimes if we need, and by the way, this year did not waste his time traveling halfway across the world, because he only found out about the treasure in his backyard from the soldier there. But Rabbanim said, that's my goal of the yeshiva, is to point you back to your own backyard, to help you and encourage you to dig in your own backyard. I had a story, my friends and I had a story that almost mirrors this Rabbanim of Pshischa's story. We were a group of friends who wanted to make something of ourselves. We were in Eretz Yisrael, and we were learning together. And we decided that we need somebody to run our chabura. We were very frustrated. We were young marrieds, and we were trying to work on areas of avodas Hashem, of growing, and we were feeling frustrated. So we were looking for somebody to run our group. And we finally found somebody. One of the first meetings with him, he told us, we told him what had happened, and he told us, you don't really need me. Really, what you were doing is searching, you're right. He said, I'm just here when you get frustrated to tell you to keep going. Because really, the search is inside of you. There's a Messias Yesharim that I'm always amazed by. The Messias Yesharim describes that life is a maze. He describes they used to have rich people, kings, used to have these mazes in their yards. They were meant and people would try to walk through them. They have them today at like farms. What do they call these things? Corn mazes. So the Messias Yesharim describes this really hard maze. And he says that a smart person goes to a chacham. But it's interesting, the wise person doesn't tell you how to go. He just encourages you, that you have it in you to figure it out. And the Messias Hashem, it always struck me, he says to speak to wise people, but the wise people don't tell you what to do. They just remind you to think that you can do this. And you could think it through, but they encourage you to look inside the wise people. The Messias Hasharim describes this. So what AJ's describing at a time of tremendous need for our people showing up, and AJ bringing his, what he could bring and what he certainly brought, and whoever that 30-year-old was who was looking for AJ, I'd look for AJ too, but AJ bringing his thing, this is true in all of life. Each of us bringing what we have in a real, authentic way, understanding we need the entirety of our people. There's no extra in our people, and each one, bring your ice cream truck and don't let nobody left. When AJ, I like the example, I think that was incredible, of the guy who showed up with his ice cream truck. I'm like moved beyond. The guy came down to a dangerous situation and he brought an ice cream truck, which is necessary. No, the way AJ's relating it, nobody seemed to have been laughing, just thanking and appreciating and moved. You came, you were a thing. And that picture for all of Am Yisrael, for all the situations, show up with your thing. Find your thing, get in touch with your thing, and your donation, your necessary and your donation, your ice cream truck is what's needed. I think I'm going to try, I think that was incredible. I'm going to try to visualize and remember that ice cream truck when I bring my quirky things, and I hope when you bring your quirky things to our nation, understand your ice cream truck is needed. So thank you, thanks a million, AJ, for sharing. Thank you for being here. That was amazing. Hey, she always has not myself. I want to sing more, but we have to ban more. So I'm going to ask the guys. I'll call on some guys. You can give a bracha to AJ. You can thank him. Or you can ask if he asks a question, but he doesn't have to answer. He doesn't have to answer. Could they do that? I just want the guys to bond. I want an appreciation to somebody. I want the guys to meet each other. So I'm going to ask. I can call on guys. You have a right to just give a bracha. You could just thank. You could give a bracha. You could welcome. Introduce yourself, though. Whoever is called upon, to please introduce yourself. Say your name. why we should get to know each other, in a real appreciation. So should I call on guys? Arya, should I call on guys or let guys volunteer? What do you say, Arya? What should I do? Do we have a volunteer to introduce themselves? And Aaron? Avezi, should I do volunteers or I should call on guys to introduce themselves?
He wants to know how many bodies.
What question?
How many they fell with?
I said he doesn't have to answer anything. That's not for a different time. Introduce, Aaron, introduce and give a bracha. Introduce. Excellent. Thank you, Aaron. It's very special to you, Aaron. I figure we should start Brooklyn and Brooklyn. Aaron's a good Brooklyn kid. Excellent, excellent. Very special.
Thanks.
Good bracha. Thank you, Aaron. Benjamin, introduce yourself.
Benjamin Lowy.
True statement. Yeah. Remember Binyamin?
It's the brothers.
Sure. Mashla was here. Yeah, sure. Chaim came after you. Thank you, Binyamin. Thank you. Okay, now we did some introductions. Shalom Koko from Lakewood. You want to give a bracha, Shalom?
Coolest person I've ever sat in the presence of. I'll give you a bracha there. Smile, keep
smiling.
Looks like you're doing what you do best.
That's said from a cool guy, so that's... wow, excellent. Relly, give a good bracha, Relly.
I want a
bracha. Okay, that's a request.
That's
cool. So ask him. He's here.
Huh?
Okay, that's a fair request. That's a fair request. Okay, that's every Reb Nachman says every learning should become a prayer. Your learning should become a prayer and a bracha. So the bracha that he's saying, really, he gave us his Torah was a bracha to us that we should find our thing. We should find our ice cream truck, find it and bring it. Find your ice cream truck, locate it and bring it. Would that be a fair bracha for us all? So we should all be zeichet to find our ice cream truck and bring it. With that, I can pray with that. Thank you, AJ.
Murray, 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 Mur
Ashrayam, Hashem Kalaikol, Ashrayam, Shem Kalaikol, Ashrayam, Shem Kalaikol,
Not it. No, just getting a drink. Hot drinks.
Just wait a minute, is he coming back?
What? He's right.
That what?
Oh, he's not gonna make it about himself. That's the bottom line. He could easily do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well said. That's the whole word, you say. Well said. What Menachem's saying, what the sugya is, we're giving an appreciation and thanking AJ. It's his whole thing he did was about our people and about thinking about our people. And he spoke that we all have what to bring, and it's about our people. That's the situation, what this soldier taught us. What the same thing AJ said in person, to think about our people, that everybody has what to contribute to our people. That's the energy of what he's tapped into. He's not tapped into about himself, and that's a truth. That's a truth about the specialness of our people and the unity of our people, and that's the main sugya that we all want to tap into right now. I wanted to share something that I shared by Shalosh Shudas. I wanted to repeat it for the chevra a little bit. Some of the guys were there. Some of the guys weren't. I'd like to share this point about the journey of all of our journeys towards MS, towards clarity. I wanted to share something that's, I think, very important. Klal Yisrael sees that Moshe Rabbeinu delays coming down. Vayara am ki boishesh Moshe l'redes mina'ar. Klal Yisrael sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is late. Is Baishesh Moshe Leredes Minaar? Moshe Rabbeinu delays coming down from our Sinai. Vayikolam Aaron, and the nation gathers around Aaron. Vayomrei Lav, and they say to Aaron, Kuma Seilanu Elohim. Let's make some sort of power, Ashel Yelchu Lefanenu, who will go in front of us. Ki Zeh Moshe Ish. This person, Zeh, whenever it says Zeh, we're pointing, Ki Zeh Moshe Ish. This person, Moshe, Asher Alanu Meretz Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Mahayaloi. We don't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, who took us out of Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Mahayaloi. We don't know what happened to him. Moshe Rabbeinu was late in coming down from our Sinai. And Klal Yisrael said that we don't know. Our leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know. We don't know what happened to him. Now Rashi's bothered by Chazal, bothered, what's Zem Moshe Ha'ish? It should say, Ki Moshe Ha'ish, what's Zem Moshe? Zeh always, you're pointing at the thing. Whenever it says Zeh in the Torah, you're pointing at the item. Noichach, Zeh Keli, they pointed at Hashem. Zeh Yitnu, Hireyu Loi Matbea Shalesh. Whenever it says Zeh, you're pointing at the item. And here it says Zeh Moshe Ish, Lo Yadanu Mehayaloi. Zeh is always pointing at the item. So Rashi's bothered by, they said, this person, Moshe, what's this person? They couldn't have been pointing at Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was late in coming. They didn't see Moshe. Says Rashi that the Yetzirah showed a demus diyukin of Moshe Rabbeinu that we saw. Klal Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu on a mita, ki'ilu some funeral for Moshe Rabbeinu. And Klal Yisrael pointed at Moshe who was lying on a mita. And they said, and that's what they pointed. They said, Zeh Moshe, the Satan showed in Shemayim some funeral procession for Moshe. So we thought Moshe passed away. So that's what it means, Zeh Moshe Ish. Zeh, they pointed. They were pointing, Moshe. We don't know what happened to him. It looks like he perished in Shemayim because they saw some funeral procession for Moshe. So they asked, we need a new person to lead us. Why was the Satan, it always bothered me that the Satan was given such a power to conceal the truth. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Nifter, and Moshe Rabbeinu came back to greet us. And yet the Satan was given such a power to show us Moshe perished. And it shook us. Moshe was our leader. And we saw a funeral procession for Moshe. And why was the Satan given that power? So I said over from Reb Nachman, anything we have from Nachman, I'm quoting Reb Nachman, I mean from Reb Nassen. It's always hard for me to know when I quote Reb Nassen. Reb Nassen, it was the moon to Reb Nachman's son. Reb Nassen clarified Reb Nachman's Torah to us. And Reb Nassen, who was the Talmud of Reb Nachman, Reb Nassen said that in every single generation, it's that way. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us a clear Torah. The very word Zeh means you can point to the thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is a b'china of Zeh. You can see this clarity. And Reb Nassim said from Reb Nachman that in every generation, Hashem conceals clarity. All the people who had a clear Torah to teach us, many people, there was a tremendous disclarity and uncertainty surrounding it. The Rambam, who taught Klal Yisrael, there was tremendous turmoil if the Torah of the Rambam was what meant for Klal Yisrael. There was tremendous sveikas cast upon the Rambam. The Arizal who taught Tyrus Anistar, in his life, there was tremendous opposition and a disclarity to his Torah. The Baal Shem in his life, tremendous opposition and tremendous disclarity. This goes on in Reb Nachman himself. Reb Nassan doesn't write it about Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman himself and his Torah. There was tremendous, there was a certain disclarity. There were people, even Tzaddikim, who didn't hold of Reb Nachman's Torah. And what Reb Nachman said, is that in all generations, Hashem gives power to the Satan to take that which is clear and make it not so certain. Baishesh Maisha Laredesh, Maisha who gave us such clarity and such certainty, Hashem allowed the Satan to conceal that clarity. He all of a sudden is on a mita, and it made us difficult to access that which is we have certainty. And I want to say that Klal Yisrael went to the Egel. We decided, Kum Aseh Lanu Elohim Asher Yolchu Lefaneinu. We need something new and different. And many people in the state of uncertainty opt out of that which they were pushing towards. Many new isms, I have seen people in the search for clarity give up. They know it's there, they know it's attainable, but they're frustrated by seeing Maisha on the Mita, and they go to other nonsense. I'm not talking about somebody getting a job. A job is a necessary component to serve Hashem, to support our family. I'm not talking about a job. I have seen people become pursuers of money, creating new idealisms because they give up on pursuit of truth. And the lesson here and the task that's called on every single yid is even when things are unclear. All of us have times in our life we experience and feel Shabbos. We experience and feel, we're talking today about doing for Am Yisrael and feeling the unity of Am Yisrael. We have times that we experience truths of Torah, of Avodas Hashem, and every sincere Eved Hashem has periods of concealment, periods that you don't feel it the same, that you're not on fire. And what the Egel calls, the response, the tshuva for the Egel calls a yid, is to continue your pursuit. Not kum aseh lanu elohim, not to make other forces, not in a state of disclarity to veer from the course, but to know, I experienced emes, I'm capable of experiencing emes, and keep driving towards emes. That is the call. That is the call of the Egel. That's the response, the tshuva of the Egel. I want to, for a few minutes, I wanted to repeat that we spoke Shalosh Shodos about it. I wanted to share something on the parasha. Once we're talking about clarity and zeh, I want to share a chiddush at the beginning of Parashas Kisisa. I feel it's in sync with what AJ made a call to the Chevra. Each person bring your thing. Bring your ice cream truck. So I wanna share something that's very relevant in yeshivas. I wanna share like this, talking about Yisrael, each person bringing their things. It says in Kisisa, Hashem says to Moshe, Zeh Yitnu, this is the coin that you're supposed to give, Akiva. So Rashi says, Hirei Eloi Matbeya Shel Esh. God showed Moshe Rabbeinu a fiery coin. Hashem showed Moshe Matbeya Shel Esh. I have two kashas. God said every single yid should give a machzis ha-shekel, should give this half a shekel as a donation. Every yid should give a machzis ha-shekel. My question, Yisrael, is two questions. Why did God have to show Moshe Rabbeinu? It says Moshe was niskasha. Something was like shver to Moshe Rabbeinu. So God said, you don't understand it. Let me show it to you. My question is, what was shver to Moshe? If God said every yid should give a dollar, so I don't understand it. It's very self-explanatory. Every yid give a machsa shekel. What was Moshe niskasha? What did Moshe Rabbeinu have shver? And why did God show him a fiery coin? God couldn't spare a real coin. Show him a machzis ha-shekel. He shows him a matbeah shel esh, a fiery coin. Two questions. What did Moshe Rabbeinu understand? God commanded every single yid give a machzis ha-shekel.
What's shver?
What's shmer? What's not understandable about that question? One, Moshe doesn't understand it. He's befuddled. What was Moshe Rabbeinu befuddled by is question one.
And what was the answer?
And what was the answer showing him a fiery coin? Why didn't God just show him, if he doesn't understand what to give, show him a dollar? He shows him a fiery dollar. What is that? Those are the two questions, Chevra. What I want to suggest, B'derech Efsher, it needs to be studied. What I want to suggest is Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered by the uniformity. We're giving money for Kabbanah Satzibur. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. So everybody give what you can give. One guy give millions of dollars, one guy give $4. Moshe was Niskasha. Why is everybody giving the same coin? The uniformity bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what is Niskasha. It stood contrary to normal Yiddishkeit. Ish kefi b'yachasei, ish kemat nasei. Normally you give according to what you can afford. You bring your ice cream truck. And all of a sudden, by the machzes ha-shekel, everybody was giving the same. And Moshe was niskasha. He was bothered by the uniformity. Why is everybody giving the same? It's bizarre. When you ask for donations, don't give the same thing. Yehuda, everybody give what's you. Don't copy, don't imitate. Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered by the uniformity of it. And Hashem answered, Matbeya shel Esh. Esh represents Machshavos. That I saw in Svarim. The Esh represents the Machshava, the passion behind the giving. And Hashem said, in the external uniformity, what I'm really asking for is the unique connection to it of each yid. Externally, every yid's giving the same coin. What I really want is an internal uniqueness. It's interesting, youngsters, very young people, very appropriately like wearing different. One day your sons are, as their young teens, let them dress all different ways. Don't restrict it. They're expressing something. I'm a unique person. Let your kid wear this, wear that, geschmack. So nice. It's appropriate. It's appropriate for all our lives. We're unique. And your kid will express it. They'll want a certain haircut. Wonderful. Let him wear. Beautiful. It's appropriate. Every teenager is expressing something. A uniqueness. I'm my own guy. How many guys came to Bechinas in Yeshiva and they say, how many guys have the discussion before the Bechina? The mom says, get dressed, you're going to Bechina. He says, I want him to accept me. So I'm going to dress the way I want. I don't want to dress up like I'm me, and I want to be accepted as me. So a guy has his hairstyle, his shirt, his flair. Wonderful, wonderful. It's such a good thing to encourage, to be encouraged. What happens as we get older is not at all that the uniqueness leaves. As we get older and more sophisticated, the uniqueness is more internal. It's not about the unique external thing. Though that's wonderful, but that's not my uniqueness, is not my hair. I don't have hair. So it can't be my hairstyle anymore. Shucks. The uniqueness in clothing, I get fired. Nobody would come if I dressed in a tank top. Guys wouldn't come to Durham. So by force. I think more so as you get older, what you're forced. As you get older, what happens, what gradually happens is the uniqueness expresses internal ways. Your own chaos, your own energy, your own, that's what Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Matbeya shel Esh. He showed him that in this world, all the coins are the same. Why would you ask everybody to give the same coin? Hashem said, I don't look at the coin he gave. Hashem showed Matbeya shel Esh means, in our limited view, everybody did the same thing. That's not what's going on. It was a very unique coin, a unique journey, a unique connection too. If everybody sees guys wearing the tefillin that it's the same, you don't have the right eyes. The eyes is Matbeya shel Esh. God doesn't see everybody in the same boxes. each person's journey and connection and passion and meaning of the tefillin is very different, and God wants your wearing tefillin, your unique kesher to tefillin, your own, the internal relationship to the thing is unique. Externally, there might be some uniformity, there's some the same. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Matbeya Shalesh. It's interesting. I had this dream of making a movie. I've told the guys about my movie, where you see what goes on in this world in a certain like color, and then it would have like what's really going on, the spiritual world and the deeper world of truth, as just as a mushroom. But there'll be a lot of scenes in this movie where people, you know, where a family, there'll be all different scenes. A guy comes begging at a chasna. And some year he goes around at a wedding hall and he comes up like and he's nudgy and you're trying to dance and you hand him a dollar. You're full of rachmanis and you say, here's a dollar. And you walk away, you're a big tzaddik. In the world of truth, he was only poor because Hashem wanted, for whatever reason, Hashem wanted to be mezaka. You gave him a dollar and the shefa you brought, your next business deal works. You became aser b'shvilta chasaser. You became rich because you gave him aser. So in the movie, it would like have the spiritual truths. You would actually see the guy getting rich because the truths, the spiritual truths. So it would be what we see. What we see was like an annoying ani, and you're like, we're a hero to give him. And truth is, he's like your biggest supporter. You're actually rich from him. The movie would portray spiritual truths. It would somehow show the spiritual truths that are going on in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes were open to this movie. He sees everybody giving the same coin. He's like, uniformity you want? Hashem laughed. Hashem said, let me show you something. Hireyu loy matveya shel esh means God opened Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. There was no the same coin. Bichlal, there was no... In our funny view, everybody gave the same coin. In the world of Machshava... In the world of Machshava, nobody was close. They were all unique in their journey of presenting, of what they were thinking, of what it meant to them, in the energy of giving it over. It was supremely unique. And Hashem wants that uniqueness, but in a very deep way in the world of Machshava. So it can come out differently externally. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That's not what we're shooting for. We're not shooting for an external. Now, the youngster who's dressing different, that's great, great stuff. You're unique. You have your own flair that's true all your life. But as you're developing, you'll find deeper places of expression of uniqueness. You'll be in touch with a much deeper place of your own relationship to this, of what it means, of what you're investing in this, what it means to you. It will be much more pnimius type of uniqueness as you're accessing that world of pnimius. And Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Matbeya Shalesh. And he said, perhaps in the external uniformity, which you, Moshe Rabbeinu, understand that I don't want uniformity. So what I'm interested is Matbeya Shalesh. Hashem opened up Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes to the Matbeya Shalesh, to the unique Machshava Shekol Echad Echad. Now Moshe Rabbeinu fully understand everybody has their own Machshavas. And I can ask the Kasha what was taught, but Hashem Hireyu Loi Matbeya Shalesh. By force, when it's external uniformity, and Hashem doesn't want that, all that's left is Mashmah, what's going on? Oh, so you understand it's not the external pu'ula. Hireyu loy matbeah shalesh. Hashem allowed him access to a world of matbeah shalesh. I think anybody who understands that it's not the chitzanius maybe gets some glimpse of Matbeya Shalesh, that it matters my own relationship to this thing, my own pnimius, my own way of performing this thing, the Matbeya Shalesh. This is true in all activities. Now, of course, we do the action. We all put on tefillin, as we should. But we're a world that asks, the Skashalai Maisha, and we're a world that cares in Matbeya Shalesh. in the unique connection, relationship to his tefillin, his own excitement, his own passion, his own chaos that this means to him. We care uniquely about this matbea shel esh, this world of machshava, a person's pnimius, his own relationship to the tefillin. So that's how I wanted to explain this sugya of matbea shel esh, the ze yitnu, the bracha to the chevra. Every Torah has to be a prayer. The prayer that this Torah turns into and the bracha is all of us in our avodas Hashem. Of course, doing the mitzvahs. Of course, keeping the tzura of Yiddishkeit, the Torah that Hashem's mitzvah us. But all of us to be in touch with our matbea shalesh, our unique relationship to avodas Hashem, to bring our own cheshek, our own lave to the avodas Hashem. What A.J. Saidi called, bring your ice cream truck. Bring your ice cream truck. Klal Yisrael, we need each person. We should all be zeichet to find our own unique machshavos, our own unique passion, our own unique connection, and bring it in the service of Hashem. That's my bracha for the chevra. Thank you, Rav Ezi. Thank you. Welcome back, Moyo.
Sing us a song.
Who sang? You, Moyo?
Joey. Yasu sang last night.
By Project Inspire?
And then Joey Newcomb, he saw a bunch of Waterbury guys there, so he like sang Tati My King.
Wow. Did he give you a solo, Yasu?
Yeah. More than one.
Let me see. It's great stuff. Okay.
Thank you, Nachum.
New Waterbury Choir.
We'll dive in Chevra, we'll dive in Mincha now. There will be second Seder afterwards tonight. Tonight, does Chevra, is Shlomo Feldman here? Shlomo, what time is everything going down tonight?
9:15.
What? 9:15 starts what? What? If guys, it makes it more fun if everybody can join tonight at 9:15 is a skills competition. What skills are we doing?
It's going to be like a race between two players.
How many guys are in the skills competition?
Eight
guys. Do we know who the eight are?
Yeah.
Ooh. So eight guys in the skills competition. Then a three-point shootout. Do we know who's in the dunk contest yet? We do. And there's merch for the whole yeshiva.
Palmer's Haven. I didn't pay for them.